T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know what, Daryl? Only the good die young. Maybe I should be meaner to people. I'm a little mean sometimes.
Wait a minute, you're not mean
to people?
Maybe
I should be a jerk.
I'd say you're a pretty mild-mannered guy. But
my mild-mannered thing?
But if you mess with the bull, you get the horns. That's the one thing I learned about you.
That's right. Let's see. Sports and politics says Tebow is terrible. Gin and Juice says, for you to say Tebow is not God at football is one of the dumbest things you've ever said.
He's not in the league.
I should correct myself. He is not good at NFL football. He was very good. He was excellent
at
college football.
Yes.
So it was not fair to say he was not good at football. He was not good at NFL football. He was not capable of playing the NFL at any kind of high level. And that's why he's out of the league.
Yeah, if he was any good, he'd still be playing. He wouldn't be in the Mets farm system right now.
He was a great college player. And I'll even give him credit for this. While he does not deserve to be even a AAA where he's probably going to play next year, he has been better than I thought in the minor leagues. See, I don't think he's capable of playing really in the majors.
He's been
better than I thought he'd been.
I think in the majors, he'll be lucky to get on the interstate.
I mean, if he's in the majors, it's just absurd. But
I don't know. Maybe the Mets will get real desperate.
they're already desperate. They hired an agent to be their GM. But he has been a little better than I thought he'd be overall. He's still not, you know, he's not great, but he's definitely, I thought he'd be much worse. I thought this experiment would be over by now, and it's not, so I credit him for that.
If he's one of their top 10 prospects in that farm system,
yeah,
then their farm system is hot garbage.
No, he's not at one of their prospects, but he is there. Let's talk to Tommy next up on the fan. Tommy?
Thank you, Bull. Daryl.
All right.
Here. Listen. Hugh Jackson's out there blaming it all on the Browns. You didn't give me any good players to coach, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like, no, you had Myles Garrett last year. You had Schobert. You had Bentonio. You had some good players. You didn't win the game because you're a bad coach. Okay? Now he's out there on this tour like you guys are talking about, you know, spouting off to these millennials like, I'm this. He's a great articulator, but that's it. He's talking a good game, but you did nothing here for almost 3 years. Okay? So all these people that know nothing about football are looking at, well, Hugh Jackson, he's a smart man. He's an offensive guy, this and that. Bull. Us old schoolers know that guy can't coach or be a head coach. He could coach, but he can't be a head coach.
No, nobody's gonna get conned by Hugh Jackson again. I don't know.
He's great at selling it.
Yeah.
You know, remember, the earth moved under his feet while RG3 worked out in the field house.
Yeah, right.
You know, he made the grave mistake of sticking up for Sashi Brown drafting Cody Kessler with the trust me.
Albert Breer's article, he did say that he liked DeShone Kizer.
Yeah, well.
And all this revisionist history on the other quarterbacks drives me crazy. There was nothing. No, there was no, you know, his mouthpiece, Mike Silver, never put anything out about Patrick Mahomes last year.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too, is that I think that there was some spite involved in the way he coached those 2 years. Because he and Sashi Brown didn't see eye to eye when it came to football, okay? So
right.
I am a believer that there was a little spite in the way he coached those 2 years. Because the expansion Browns, and we've talked about this, they managed to win 5 games in 2 years. You mean to tell me that this expansion worthy roster that they threw out there the previous 2 years here couldn't win 5 games?
Yeah, that's
– get out of here.
I get these tweets all the time. This guy Rob Stone on Twitter, Rob Stone, he said, holding a tanking team's record against the head coach is just silly.
But I think that the head coach contributed deliberately
to the tanking team's record. Your record – every bad team – every really bad team to some degree is tanking every year. All these – the worst – like the Raiders are tanking – We're holding that against John Gruden. The Bills stink and are tanking. They beat Minnesota as a 17-point underdog. No matter what your talent level, there's this idea that's been propagated by some people. Mike Silver, maybe Colin Cowherd to some degree, and then a lot of fans. Not a lot, but a small percent. There's been this idea that the Browns the last 2 years had less talent than any team ever. That's absurd. Did they have poor talent?
Yes.
Yes. But was it equal to the other poor talented teams in the NFL during those years? Yes. And they won one game. One game. Look at the Bills quarterback situation now. They have two wins. It's terrible.
And that's my point, Bull. Okay?
Yeah.
That's my point. They could have won a couple of more games than they won. And I put that on Hugh Jackson. I absolutely put that on Hugh. So, I'm exhausted talking about him because he's not here anymore. And nothing he says really carries any weight. And it's all revisionist history and his own whatever story
You know, I was thinking about this. I mentioned this to Keith before the show.
Because he really, 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 really wanted him to draft Carson Wentz.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, man. My head hurts.
This is the eighth football season that since Station been on the air, since Dustin and I have been on the air.
It's been a long freaking 8 years, by the way.
But think about this. For some teams, this hasn't happened once in 8 years. For most, it's only happened one or two times.
Yeah.
Every year, except for maybe one, you tell me what you think. Every year since we've been on the air, every offseason, the Browns have either been looking for a quarterback or a coach every single year,
right? Don't forget GM.
Well, but I don't even need to add that in, okay? We came on the air right before the 2011 season started. So between 11 and 12, you were looking for a quarterback. Right, and they drafted Brandon Whedon in 12.
I really need my spreadsheet right now.
Did they draft Brandon Whedon in 12?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whedon was taken 27. That was the year they traded up to get Trent Richardson one spot at
that was
three
12.
With Minnesota.
Right,
yeah.
I'm right about that.
No, that was 2012.
Right. So that was the first offseason for us. The second offseason, after the 2012 season, they fired Shurmur. They were looking for a coach.
Right, because the Haslams had come in. They wanted to bring in their own people to run the organization.
Right. After the 13 season.
Not their best decision, by the way.
No, they hired Chud. Okay? After the 13 season, they were looking for both. Because Brandon Whedon had played 2 years.
Yep.
He wasn't the answer.
Gone.
And Chud got fired. So you were looking for a coach and a quarterback.
Correct.
After the 14 season, which was Mike Pettine's first season, you were – when did they draft Johnny?
Johnny was 2014.
14. So they had drafted Johnny. Wait, yeah, they drafted Johnny in Pettine's first year.
Yes.
So
because that was what scuttled his first year. Remember, they were 7-5 after beating the Falcons, and then Josh Gordon had come back and was running all these wrong routes, and all of a sudden Brian Hoyer started throwing a bunch of interceptions because Josh wasn't where he was supposed to be. Everyone wanted Hoyer benched and to see Johnny. And
that was a disaster.
Mike Pettine knew better, and
we know
how that went.
And after the 14 season, that's the only year maybe you weren't looking for a coach because Pettine went 7-9, even though
Correct.
It fell apart.
He came back for.
And you could argue they weren't actively looking for a quarterback, although I think we'd all given up on Johnny. Maybe at the time it would have seemed unfair, although it turned out not to be. But I think we'd all given up on Johnny even after that brief appearance.
From a draft perspective in 15, no, they weren't looking for a quarterback.
That was the only
they had
year.
Just drafted Johnny.
That was the only year, although we kind of knew they probably would have to.
Right.
After 15, you were looking for a coach and a quarterback.
Yep.
After after the 16 season, you were not looking for a coach, but you were looking for a quarterback still. After the 17 season, you should have been looking for a coach. You weren't, and you were still looking for a quarterback.
Yep.
And after this season, they're looking for a coach again. Now,
at least the Browns
year,
are consistent.
But the good news is that next year you finally won't be looking for after the 19 season, unless something terribly wrong happens. You won't be looking for either at
we
all.
We think. And that would probably be the
probably not.
That would probably be the first time
since what?
Romeo Crennel, Phil Savage.
The middle of the middle.
Back in because they were here from 2005 through 2008.
Isn't that amazing?
They're the longest tenured duo here. They lasted 4 years together. Put together that 10-7 or 10-6 season in 2007. They had six Pro Bowlers that year. That was when Braylon Edwards went bananas and Kellen Winslow was, you know, Derek Anderson, who's still living off his Pro Bowl season of 2007. That was a fun year. That was my first full year covering the Browns exclusively here in Cleveland as far as, like, my job went. And that was a fun, fun year. And it's not been fun since, let me tell you.
And you know what's amazing, and not that it's always gone well for all of these teams, but since we went on the air, the Steelers, Ravens, and Bengals have only had one coach and one quarterback. Right? Dalton was a rookie in 2011.
Yeah.
And Flacco and Roethlisberger have been around longer than that.
And they all three of them own the Browns. Well, maybe not so much Dalton because the Bengals are the one team the Browns can kind of sort of beat in the division.
Not in the last couple of years.
Well, it's,
but
it's,
they've beaten them more often than the Ravens still.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like a 400 win percentage against the Bengals compared to the 112 win percentage against the Steelers and Ravens.
I'm actually curious, what do you think Andy Dalton's record is against the Browns?
Against the Browns?
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So it's 14 games unless he missed one. Did A.J. McCarron play? I think they played the Browns already that twice. So there's probably 14 games. What do you think his record is?
I'm going to say he has lost.
It is 14 games.
I'm going to say he's lost six games.
No. I thought the Browns had a better record against the Bengals. Since we've been on the air, Bengals are 11-3 against the Browns.
Again, still a better win percentage against the Bengals.
So the Browns have won three games against the Bengals since 2011. That's the most they have against any team in the division. Obviously, that's terrible. Considering, you know, the Bengals have been decent in most of those years. They've been in the playoffs. I mean, they have the worst record they've had is 6-9-1.
Consider
since
this
that time, but still, you know,
under the Lerner ownership, the Browns were a juggernaut. They had a win to loss ratio of like 1-2, one win for every two losses. Under the Haslams, it's one win for every 8-9 losses.
Yeah,
think about that for a moment. They took a bad franchise and made it historically awful and unwatchable. Think about just the 6-55 and 1 since that big win down in the Georgia Dome, the old Georgia Dome.
Amazing. It's amazing.
It's incredible. And and also, too, Bull, the amount of stuff that has happened in that short period of time as well.
Incredible. Yeah. Well, if Jimmy finally stays out of the way and John Dorsey hires the coach, then the Browns really have a chance to turn it around next year, I think.
But all comes down to people working together.
Yes, that's right.
That's what this comes down to. People that work together and are on the same page with one thing in mind, and that's winning football games. Not your ego, not your agenda, not worrying about who found what player, not worrying about who's calling the plays or who put what play in the game plan that worked or didn't work.
Or what is the OC saying about me in the press conference?
Right. It's all about everybody just working together. And I'm not saying you're going to be in harmony because you are going to have those disagreements, but you work through them. That's what the successful organizations do, is that when the disagreements arise, they do not fester. They don't end up in the media for the most part, even though the NFL is the greatest soap opera in professional sports. But
once in a while they do. I mean, like the whole Brady-Belichick thing last year. But
again,
that's rare.
I understand that stuff, but the good teams, even the Steelers' problems, they cure it by winning because that's all people care about. Fine, okay, the media got their thing to chew on and to ask us questions about and to write about and to criticize and all those type of things, but the bottom line is we're here to win football games. Let the media do the media. We do us. We go out and we win every Sunday, or in teams like the Patriots and Steelers' case, on Monday nights, Sunday nights, and Thursday nights. So that's the level. And I think that what is helping the Browns and the Haslams in this case, Bull, to be fair to them, and I'm not making excuses. I've been just as critical of them as you and others have, and I think that they deserve the criticism. But the one thing I will say is that it's a different business for them. It's something that they've had to learn the hard way. They've had to learn by failing. And they brought somebody in who's well-respected, who knows his stuff, that's not going to, you know, sell him a bill of goods, okay?
Right.
And that can really explain, hey, guys, because the Haslams don't want this to be what it is right now. I want to make that very clear. I know that there's a segment of fans that think that, you know, the Haslams have this big conspiracy.
No, come on, that's silly.
Nobody, I understand.
They've been inept at their job.
They are. Yeah. And they're in at, it's paralysis by analysis. They've been trying to figure out since they bought this team what it takes to hire the right people, to get them in here, to be successful. They've not gotten it right. No question about it. But they have somebody in running their personnel department right now, and they have other people in that department that have been part of championship cultures, that have run championship cultures, and that I think are going to be able to steer them, as long as they're willing to listen, in the right direction so that this thing does finally fall into place for
absolutely.
Them. That, to me, that's the light at the end of the tunnel for me.
They just got to sign the checks.
When I look at this organization, well, they can be involved in the business side, and it's still their family business.
We don't care about that.
But when I'm talking about running the football operation like a bunch of grown adults.
Yes.
Let's be honest about it. It's not been run like a bunch of grown adults. It's been run by a bunch of children, okay? Now you have some grown adults in that building running it, and you give them the reins to run it. I think that the organization is going to be in good shape going forward. We just got 7 more weeks of speed bumps to get through with the rest of this schedule and the coaching. And then I think that once that happens and they pick their next coach and they fill out the coaching staff, hopefully what you were alluding to earlier about the stability with not having to look for a quarterback and a coach and a GM and all that stuff,
hopefully that falls
all into place.
Well said, Daryl. Good job out of you. Thanks for stopping by.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
Hanging with Daryl.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.